You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
We are just back from our annual Church Networks Festival. And my family and I were the setup team. And so we headed down last Wednesday and came back just this past Monday. And as some of you know, camping is a highly unusual activity. And I always learn something new when I go away on these camping weekends. And the first thing I learnt again was that putting up a tent on a hot day with very little shade is the greatest test a marriage can ever go through. We often think it should be like this. And it often results in something like that. But one of the benefits of being part of the setup team is that we got to go down a day early and go through this marriage stress test without an audience. But this year we were presented with two unexpected and unprecedented obstacles: a line of trees and a gradual slope. Now, in normal life, in a good life, these things should not be unexpected and unprecedented obstacles. They should just be a line of trees that give lovely shade and a gradual slope that you otherwise wouldn't notice. But in camping world, they are almost unsurmountable. I eyeballed that slope and looked at that line of trees for way longer than any human should. We put down ground sheets and practiced lying on slopes for longer than anyone should have to go through. And every moment that passed, because it was bright sunny day like today, there was not any shade other than a lovely line of trees, but we weren't always there. And every moment that passed, we were getting slightly more tired, slightly more hungry, slightly more hot, and slightly more irritable with one another. And that was not good. I almost had to declare a major incident and report to Sean to say that the setup team was not, in effect, setting up. We were setting off for another destination altogether. Eventually, though, we got there. Our tent was set up, the marquee was laid out, and the pizza was ordered. My marriage had survived, and both Lindy and I expressed our love for one another whilst also expressing for the past few hours we hadn't really liked one another very much. But what were some of the other things that I learned on this camping adventure? Well, one thing which was a new skill, it's a new thing I learned this time, was how to put on what English people call joggers in a shower cubicle that's getting ever more covered with grass and ever more covered with camping stuff. And it's always, always wet, soaking wet. So you're in the shower, you come out of the shower, you dry off as best you can. You've got your flip-flops on, and then but your feet are still soaking wet, and you know they're going to be soaking wet. So you've got to crunch what I call trackies, okay, your joggers. You've got to scrunch one up so you've got sort of the whole leg just in one sort of, you've got a handhold. And then you've got to sort of hoik the other leg over your shoulder, or what I learned through as I progressed through the week, a more advanced technique is to sort of bite it. Grab it in the mouth, okay, say, and then you've got to, without falling over into the ever-increasing camping environment, shall we say.
Next year you'll learn just to not bother showering.
Well, I don't know if I will. But thank you. So, and then there was the comedy of the conversation with the unexpected friend on the way to the loo. When you happen to be holding a loo roll. So I was concerned that the loos may not always be well stocked for our campers over the time. So I asked Anthony and Catherine, who were at the shop each day, could you get just some loo roll and so for our campers? Because you never want to run out of loo roll, do you? And especially not when you're camping. And so they were there, and I developed what I thought was this great technique. I thought it was so good. So we had the camper's emergency loo roll, and so I sort of subtly came in and, you know, I mean, it's easier for a lady because then you've got two options, aren't you, with a loo roll. With a bloke, you've only got, you know. Anyway, so I'll let you work it out, right? So you sort of just grab the loo roll, and I put it under in the armpit. Oh, this is great. You know, sort of choose a slightly less big loo roll, put it under the armpit, and off I go. I'm walking down. But then you've got to do the walk. What I called the walk of shame. And you've got the loo roll under here, and you're walking along. And then, I thought it was going so well. And then, I meet someone, and we see each other, and it's the wife of an elder of a friend up at Westminster Chapel. So I've got to, I can't do anything. I can't just like, oh, I don't know you. So I go over to her, thinking, oh, she won't know. Loo roll, my arm's probably like this, and I'm thinking I'm being very subtle. And I go, anyway, suffice to say, it was a very short conversation. There was no hugs involved. But my absolute killer for the weekend was the bamboo pole sleeping torment. So we were camping on the road, okay? So our tent was on then the road, and then just across from our tent, they had these big flags put up on bamboo poles to indicate which camping zone you were in, so you could find your church's camp. And a big flag then had a lead weight that meant to hold the flag down. But if this one wasn't put on properly, so it was just flapping around the wind. I didn't notice it at all. And then the second I put my head down on my pillow to go to sleep that night, it began. The lead weight hitting this bamboo pole, it turned me into a crazy person. It was irregular, but frequent, and it began over and over. And I literally, I didn't know what to do with myself. I was lying there, I was sleeping, and when it didn't happen for a while, I was like, yes, maybe someone has fixed it. I got so excited, but then I knew in my heart it wasn't fixed. And I then started to wait for this next lead thing to hit against the pole, and of course it came. So you're sort of half excited, yes, it's fixed, half knowing, no. It's, and I went on and on. Let's just say I needed a post-lunch nap the next day. And Ian and I was very grateful to Ian. We went on a rescue mission. We got up on the wheelie bin. We gaffer taped up that lead thing. I slept, well, as you do in camping from then on. But yet there were other things I also was reminded of over the weekend, or perhaps challenged to live into and live out of once again. The theme of the conference was unshakable. And the highlights for me were the talks by Toppy and Kemi Colioso, and also a talk by Chris Kilby. Toppy spoke of the unshakable church, and he challenged us and inspired us with a reminder that actually many things can be called the church, but unless we have the presence of God with us, it's not the church in the true sense of the word. You see, because the church in the true sense of the word is where the people of God are gathered and the unshakable presence of God is there amongst them. And the unshakable church is only unshakable because the unshakable presence of God is amongst them and working through them. It was brilliant. Kemi, Toppy's wife, then came and spoke the next morning. She was equally inspiring, weaving in just funny stories. She was a brilliant storyteller with deeply personal faith journeys that inspired anyone who was listening. And then Chris Kilby spoke of the unshakable gospel. Kemi spoke on unshakable faith and the unshakable gospel, reminding us of the treasure that we have within us as believers and how we need to share the gospel for the sake of a world that doesn't know Jesus Christ. All utterly outstanding. And when the links come out, we'll share them, and I would encourage you to listen to them. And you see, Toppy rightly said that we can have great bands and great meetings and great kids' work, but unless we have the presence of God with us, that's all we'll have. Bands and meetings and kids' activities. And he cried out to us, imploring us to once again cherish and treasure the presence of God, to revere the presence of God. Ian was talking about it earlier. That sense of coming as we gather here on a Sunday morning and not coming in casually like it's just... but we're coming into the very presence of God, that Holy One, that fire that burns eternally. And he was reminding us, saying, remember the presence of God. Come with an expectation of transformation when we come into the presence of God, and not let our church life simply become attendance and going through the motions. And then one of those peculiar camping moments happened. I was sitting with Ben, and he was recalling what had just happened to him. And he said he found himself at the basins, down in the loo block, washing his hands, as you do. And he looked over, and there was a guy in the basin next to him, seemingly in a spot of bother. His hands were full of soap. If you can picture it, that liquid soap, and it's full of soap. And he's doing like a full-on Boris wash, you know. And then maybe he's thinking, oh, well, we've probably all done that at one point, haven't we? We've gone in there. Well, I have. Soap. And you haven't turned the tap on. And you're like, oh, I'm kind of stuck now. Try and turn the thing on. You just goes. You've got soap all over your hand. You're kind of stuck. So Ben, being the very helpful chap that he is, he turned to him and said, would you like me to turn the tap on? Well, Ben wasn't really expecting what came next. And the guy turned to him. And I don't know if this is how he said it to Ben or not, but I'm just running with it this morning. He sort of turned to Ben and said, it's a drip. All you need is a drip. And Ben kind of slowly, carefully shut off his tap and exited the toilet and went back to the camp. And that had just been in my mind all week, sort of making me chuckle, but making me think, how much has my life in Christ become like the guy in the basin, shouting at strangers that a drip is enough? The image of our hands covered in soap, working up a lather of activity. Is that a picture of what my life's become? And for some of us in the room this morning, the soap on the hands might be the ways that we think we need to clean ourselves up with our own activity before we come to God. And that only in our own efforts and trying to clean ourselves up and get ourselves right. Only then, and if we ever reach there, because you see, that can be a game that never ends. You just keep having to wash your hands because you're not quite there. But only if we ever got there would God truly love us and accept us. We start to think of ourselves and start to live in a way where we try to live to win God's approval. And for some of us, maybe we get in our heads that means we need to stop taking drugs or stop drinking or stop swearing or stop cheating or stop lying or stop, and you fill in the blank. Now, none of those things are wrong per se, but we need to be careful we aren't living back the front. And what I mean by that is we start to live life wanting to win God's approval rather than living life from and out of God's approval, which we receive freely in Jesus Christ. Because if we do that, we can end up a bit like that picture of the man at the basins washing his hands, full of soap, but without the water turned on. And it could just leave us living the wrong way around. So maybe that's you. For the others in the room, the soap on the hands perhaps is a snapshot and a challenge about where we find ourselves in our relationship with Christ today. And the sense I got is that for some people in the room, our Christian life, if I can say it this way, has become just another part of the rest of your life. Do you know what I mean? Your Christian life's become a bit comfortable, without risk. You know in your own heart that you're not really participating in your own life with Christ. You've learned the language. You know when to pray. You know what to say. But you find yourselves going through the motions rather than living passionately for Christ. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you don't know the Lord, you don't love the Lord still, and He's not your Lord and Savior. But somehow in the pressures and the busyness of life, rather than the bringer of life, rather than the lover of your soul and the center of it all, Jesus has just become another thing that competes for your attention with the many pressures of life. There is a drip of life there, but it's just a drip. And for some of us, we've maybe grown comfortable with just a drip. And for others in the room, perhaps it's more of a case of your Christian heritage and tradition just haven't had the emphasis on what it means to live in the Spirit and be full of the Spirit. It's not that you're anti, so to speak, of the Spirit. It's just that it's all new for you. And when people start talking about being filled with the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, being in step with the Spirit, you say, yes, but how? What does it look like? And is that part of the picture? Maybe you've grown up with a drip of the Spirit. And your tradition and heritage and your experience to date has left you with a sense that a drip is enough. But you see, the author of life and the source of the river of life is standing next to you and saying, can I turn that tap on for you? See, listen to the way that David speaks in the Psalms and his life and his love for Christ. With all of my heart, I praise the Lord. And with all that I am, I praise the holy name. With all my heart, I praise the Lord. I will never forget how kind He has been. The Lord forgives sins, heals us when we are sick, and protects us from death. His kindness and love are the crown on our heads. Each day that we live, He provides for us and gives us the strength of a young eagle. But you see, this language is not exclusive for David. Jesus wants all of us to sing like this and to live like this and to love Him like this. The unshakable God births us each into His unshakable kingdom and then gives us His unshakable presence through the Holy Spirit. And you see, if we find ourselves in any of those situations I've spoken about this morning, with our hands full of soap and thinking, a drip is enough, then come to the well of life this morning. Come to the river of life. As Jesus said in John 7, we read it this morning, didn't we? On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And by this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Again, Jesus said something similar in John chapter 4 to the woman in the well who was skirting around the edges of society, living in the shadows of her shame, coming out to the well at the hottest time when there'd be no one around. And Jesus says this to her: everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again, but no one who drinks the water I give them will ever be thirsty again. The water I give will become in that person a flowing fountain that gives eternal life. And the woman replied, "Sir, please give me a drink of that water that I won't be thirsty and have to come to this well again." You see, when we drink from the water that Jesus is giving, we give up any notion that we can clean ourselves and make ourselves ready for God. When we drink of the life-giving water that Jesus gives, we receive His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness and His love. And then out of that flows a life pleasing to God. So if you're here this morning and you find that your life in Christ has become more run-of-the-mill than passionate adventure, if you know in your heart that you're more cruising than advancing, if you know in your heart that comfort has become king rather than Jesus, then come and allow God to turn on the tap and let the river flow this morning. And you see, often we end up in these places not because we've intentionally set out to them, not in some sense of intentionally turning. Sometimes that happens, but often not. What happens is that we just get distracted from the busyness and the pressures and the competing voices for our attention. And moment by moment and inch by inch, we just get diverted. And our gaze is drawn somewhere else. But it's moments like this morning where God, in His kindness and His grace, says to us, stop, look, recognize where you are. He says to us, I know you didn't go after this actively, but now is the time to stop and say, I don't want to be on this road anymore. I want to align my life back to the purposes of God, where God and Jesus is the very center of my life, not something competing for my attention, where I'm still the center. I don't want to get to the destination at the end of this path, but rather let's turn back to Him. Reject any notion that a drip of His Spirit is enough. And let the living waters flow again into your heart, into your life. And if you've somehow convinced yourself this morning that a drop of the Spirit is all that's needed, or perhaps all that's available to you, come and jump into the river of life. The Holy Spirit is available to all of us, and He talks about our ability to be fully immersed into the Spirit of God and know a life of love and joy and transformation. And on the last night of the festival, Vinu preached from Ezekiel 47. And if you don't know your Bible that well, then Ezekiel 47 is this majestic chapter of this picture, this image where the prophet receives this picture of this throne in the temple. And then from the bottom of the throne, this water starts flowing. This river of living water starts flowing out of the temple, out into the land. And wherever the water went, living creatures flourished. There was life in its fullness. And in verse 6, he says, He asked me, Son of man, do you see? And God is asking us the same questions this morning. Do we see? Do you see the river of living water flowing from my throne out into the land? And He's also asking each one of us to reflect, where are we with Him at this moment now? You see, verse 9 continues and it says, swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be a large number of fish because the water flows there and makes salty water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. It's utter transformation. It's flourishing. It's fruitfulness. It's life itself. Transformation. Salty waters become fresh. And the whole way through Ezekiel 47, the chapter is of the man being in the river. He's first ankle deep, and then he's knee deep, then he's waist deep, and then it's so deep he has swimming in it. It's his invitation to us to come, come into the river. And then verse 12 is like the mountaintop vista for living in the river. And it says this, fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Talking about fruitfulness and flourishing. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve as food. He's a God who provides to us, cares for us, and their leaves for healing. This is a prophetic image for your life, for the life of our church, and for the kingdom. And you see, we're a people of word and spirit. We need to treasure both. We need to have a holy reverence for both. And we need to hunger after both. And I think we at Jubilee have, in this last season, we've lost something of the spirit, I think. It's today, that moment where we can recognize. Let's not just have a great band, and we do, and great meetings, and we do, and awesome kid work that we do. But let's always cherish and therefore ensure and hunger after and desire for the Spirit of God to be there amongst all of that. We need to turn back to the river of living water and drink deeply and consistently. As Toppy said, lots of things can be called the church, but the only thing that the Church of Jesus Christ is where the people of God are gathered and God's unshakable presence is with them. And that's what we need. That's what our hearts truly desire, and that is open to each one of us this morning. Now, you may not find yourself in any of those categories. You may find yourself in the best place with God. Praise God. Let Him turn the tap on more. There's always more. You never get to a place of satisfaction in that sense with God's Spirit working through your life. There's always more. But if there's anyone that's been found at the basin thinking that a drip is enough, maybe refusing for the tap to be turned on, let's take this moment now. Respond to God and His invitation to us. It's a gracious, merciful invitation. He says, come back to me in His kindness. He's calling us to live more and more and more through the Spirit. Let's allow God to turn on His tap and let the Spirit flow fully and freely in your life, into the communal life of our church in a greater measure. I'm not saying it's not there. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But what I am saying is that it's always more. Always more. Let's always have that desire to turn the tap on more. Into the life of your street, into the life of this town, your town, this region, the nation, and the nations. Amen? Amen. So we're going to come and worship now, and if I can have the band up. Now I want us to take this moment. And come before God and let His Spirit search your heart. Sometimes, you know, when the Spirit of God works on us, we're not always aware immediately of where we are. Now, I don't know where you are. I don't have a clue. But He does. And I know He wants more for you. I know He wants you to come deeper into the river. Maybe you're at ankles. Maybe you're at knees. Maybe you're at waist. He wants us, that moving on, that transformation, that going deeper is all that he wants for us. And so this morning, as we worship now, as we come to the communion table, let's be open. Let's not rush to the table. Rather, let's, in worship, allow his Spirit to speak to us. And if there's anyone that wants prayer, to come and be filled with the Spirit, we'd love to pray with you. If there's anyone, maybe there's a breakthrough that you're needing, it, we'd love to pray for you. But we need the Spirit and the Word working together, us treasuring it, cherishing it, hungering for it. Read the Scriptures, read the Psalms. It's like honey on our lips. Is that what the Word is for you? Honey on your lips. I can't get enough. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this moment. We thank you, Lord, for the message over the Commission Festival of the presence of God and how we so desperately need it. And I pray, Holy Spirit, come. You've been with us the whole morning. You've been in our setup. You've been with the PA guys at the beginning. You've been as we've been preparing even this week. You've been with us through all of this morning in our worship. And even now, I pray, come. Search our hearts as we open our hearts to you. Search our hearts and call all of us, Lord, deeper into your river, wherever we may be. Maybe we're dipping our toe in for the first time. Maybe we're going from ankles to knees. Whatever it is, Lord, you're calling us deeper into you, deeper into your Spirit, deeper into your presence in our lives, working in us, equipping us, and through us to love God, love others, and love life. I pray, come Holy Spirit, as we worship you, minister amongst us. I pray just we be bold, Lord. We take a risk this morning, and it's not really a risk because it's you, Lord. But maybe in our own hearts it's a risk, and we step out and say, Lord, I want you right at the center. I want all that you have for me. So call your people in, I pray, Lord. Invite in your grace and your mercy and your kindness, invite them in. It's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. This is his kind voice saying, hey, I'm here. So come, Holy Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.